Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Scott is gone this week, and Jeremiah was supposed to teach, and he let me know Friday night that he wasn't quite feeling well, but then I talked to him yesterday and I thought he was planning on coming and sounded good. He texted me at 7 this morning and said, "I don't feel so good." So, you're going to hear a lesson that I gave about a little over 2 years ago. So I had to dust off my notes, and so I haven't had a lot of time to prepare. But the notes, I think, are speak for themselves. What I'm going to talk about is 34 things that God provides for every believer at the point of salvation. And this was originally pulled together by Lewis Sperry Schaefer. And what I've done is just pull the scriptures in with what he referenced. And so we'll cover the verses and the topics that he mentioned, but we're actually going to read the scriptures that go right along with it. So, as I said, these are things that God gives us at salvation. These are things given by grace. We didn't do anything to earn them or deserve them. And, you know, when we're not saved, we can't do anything like that to earn or do anything. But God gave them to us as out of His grace for us at salvation. So number one, being part of the eternal plan of God. In other words, we share the destiny of Christ. Acts 2:23, Romans 3:29, 1 Peter 1:2 all talk about God foreknowing us. Acts 2:23, "This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." This plan of God was developed by God in eternity past, and He foreknew all the things that would happen. Romans 3:29, "Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of the Gentiles, of the Gentiles also?" 1 Peter 1:2, "According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of Christ, to obey Christ Jesus and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours. He elected us also as part of this plan." Romans 8:33, Colossians 3, verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 4, Titus 1:1, 1 Peter 1:2. Romans 8:33 says, "Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies." We've been elected. Colossians 3:12, "So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." 1 Thessalonians 1:4. "Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, of His choice of you." Titus 1:1. "Paul, a bondservant," that word literally means slave, "and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God, and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness." 1 Peter 1:2. "According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." He's also predestined us. Romans 8:29 and 30. Ephesians 1, 5, and 11. 8:29, we just had this in our Romans class. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. God has glorified us in eternity past for the future that we have with him. Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Ephesians 1:11, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. He's also chosen us. And I know a lot of these words are similar, but the verses just amplify upon each other. Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. 1 Peter 2:4. And coming to him as a living stone, which has been rejected of men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. We're choice and precious in the sight of God. We're called, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, and also he will bring it to pass. We're reconciled by God. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He reconciles us. We are to reconcile with others. 5:19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We're also reconciled to God, not only by God, but to God. Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We're redeemed. In other words, we're purchased from the slave market of sin, because we were in a slave market and purchased by Christ. Romans 3:24. The word redeemed means to be set free by the payment of a ransom. Romans 3:24. Having been justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, he did it for us. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. We were redeemed by the blood of Christ, which we just remembered this morning. We have condemnation removed from us. John 3:18 and 5:24. Romans 8:1 is the verse that everybody always remembers. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 5:24. Truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. That's a promise. And does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. You know, that's called positional truth. In other words, God did it. It happened at our salvation. And we have this right now for us. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have grace given to us through propitiation instead of judgment. God is satisfied with the death of His Son. Romans 3:24-26, 1 John 2:2. Propitiation means satisfaction, and God the Father is satisfied with the sacrificial ministry of our Lord on the cross. Propitiation is the act of atoning for sin or wrongdoing. And we have redemption or salvation, and that is the salvation is the act of delivering from sin or saving from sin, from evil. Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. Romans 3:26. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. 1 John 2:2. And He Himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Christ satisfied God the Father's righteousness and justice. All sins have been judged by the spiritual death of Christ. That's number 6 on our list. Romans 4:25. He was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. 1 Peter 2:24. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. Again, that's what we were remembering this morning. Number 7, we have death to the old life or the old sin nature, and we are alive to God. God did that for us at salvation. That term means, a term that's used there is retroactive positional truth. In other words, retroactive positional truth means to be identified with Christ in His death and burial. It happened in the past, but the results continue for eternity. We've been crucified with Christ. Romans 6:6, Colossians 2:20. Knowing this, in Romans 6:6, that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Colossians 2:20. For if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees? And that goes on and talks about legalistic things that we put upon ourselves. But we've been crucified. Our old self has been crucified with Christ. We are actually dead with Christ. Romans 6:8. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Colossians 3:3, for you have died and your life is hidden in Christ in God. No, that's a statement of fact. 1 Peter 2:24, and He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. We're also said to have been buried with Him. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Colossians 2:12, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. We will be raised one day too. Number 8, we're free from the law. We're actually dead to the law. Romans 7:4. And you notice how many of these verses that I'm hitting all go into Romans, which is what we're studying in Sunday school. I mean, Romans is an amazing book. Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to Him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. We're delivered from the law. Romans 6:14 and 7:6. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 7:6. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that which we were bound, so that we serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter or the law. 2 Corinthians 3:11 says, for if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. In Galatians 3:25, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. We're dead to the law. We're free from the law. You know, Christ has paid the law. He's the only one that ever completely satisfied the law. We could have never done it. Regeneration. We're regenerated as well. John 13:12 and 1 Corinthians 6:11, Titus 3:5. John 13:12 says, so when He had washed their feet and taken His garments and reclined at the table again, He said to them, do you know what I've done to you? We've been regenerated. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Titus 3:5. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and by renewing by the Holy Spirit. Born again. That's a phrase we've all heard many times. John 3:7. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. 1 Peter 3, chapter 1, verse 23 says, for you have been born again, not of the seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. We are born again by His Word. We're children of God. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. First John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. 2 Corinthians 6:18, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is." Can you imagine that? I mean, Paul said we see through a glass darkly now. Can you imagine being able to see the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father in all of their glory? We're also a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come." Galatians 6:15 says, "For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them." Number 10, we are also adopted. This is one of my favorite passages here. We're placed as adult sons because of positional truth with Christ. And I don't know if you know, but back in Roman times, when an adoption was done, it was usually done by a man against a younger man, who was someone who would be taken under the wing of this older man and given all the rights and privileges of the one who was doing the adoption. Romans 8:15, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Romans 8:23, "And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even as we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting our adoption as sons and the redemption of our body." I don't know, as I get older, I can't wait for that day. You know, more aches and pains come every day, I think. Ephesians 1:5, "He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will." We are acceptable to God. This is number 11 in this list. Ephesians 1:6, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved." 1 Peter 2:5, "You also, as living stones, are being built as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." We're made righteous. We have Christ's righteousness imputed to us. That's not something we did. It's something God did for us. Romans 3:22, "Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, there is no distinction." 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." We have Christ's righteousness given to us, imputed to us. Philippians 3:9, "And may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. We are sanctified positionally. 1 Corinthians 1:30. By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. We're perfected forever. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering He has perfected for all times those who are sanctified. Did you know that you're perfected? You may not feel it right now, but you will be completely. And, you know, that's how Christ sees us. That's how God sees us. He sees Christ, you know, in us, you know, as we believe in Him. We've been qualified to be with God the Father and with Christ. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. We're qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. We're justified or declared righteous. Romans 3:24. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9. Much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. 1 Corinthians 6:11. But such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Titus 3:17. So that by being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We have eternal life waiting for us. Actually, we have it right now. If you think about it, we have, as a believer in Christ, we have eternal life right now. Because when this body dies, our soul is going to continue. And our soul has eternal life. We have a beginning, but no end. We have forgiveness for all of our trespasses. Ephesians 1:7 and Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 1:14, Colossians 2:13, Colossians 3:13. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And Ephesians 4:32, I remember this as a song that we used to sing with my children when they were little. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Sometimes that's a hard one for us. But Christ has forgiven us of everything that we have ever done. We have a heavenly citizenship. It's number 14 on my list. And it's based on reconciliation. Luke 10:20, Ephesians 2:13 and 19, Philippians 3:20. Luke 10:20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Isn't it great to know that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Isn't that neat? We're of God's household. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're delivered from the kingdom of Satan. Colossians 1:13, verse part A of that, and Colossians 2:15. Colossians 1:13 says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Colossians 2:15. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So we've been pulled out of the kingdom of Satan. We have a secure foundation. Oh, wait a minute. I missed one. Number 16, we've been transferred into God's kingdom. Colossians 1:13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. I just gave that verse, but the second part of that is we've been delivered from Satan, but transferred into God's kingdom. We have a secure foundation. For no, it's 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. We are a gift from God the Father to Christ. John 10:29, my Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. That's security. We are held in God the Father's hand. John 17:2. John 17 is a great chapter. It's the Lord's Prayer that he gave before going to the cross. And it really does tell us how secure we are with God the Father and through Christ. John 17:2, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to whom you have given him, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. John 17:6, I have manifested your name to men to the men you gave me out of the world, that they were yours and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. John 17:9, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but those whom you have given me, for they are yours. John 17:11, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Verse 12, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, that no one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. John 17:23. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. 17:24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. God has given us to Christ, and God holds us steady in his hand. We also, this is number 19 on this list, have deliverance from the power of the sin nature. Romans 2:19. And are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Philippians 3:3. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Colossians 2:11. And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We've been delivered from the sin nature. We are appointed priests to God. We're a holy priesthood. 1 Peter 2:5. And you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 is a really neat verse. We're a royal priesthood. Did you think of, and you think of yourselves as royalty? But we are. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, we're our own priests to God anymore. We don't need a priest to intercede for us. I mean, we have Christ, and he intercedes for us. But we're our own priest to Christ and to God. We are a chosen generation, or an elect race, if you want to say that, a peculiar or protected people, Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. 1 Peter 2:9, I just read, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We have access to God the Father. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you draw near to the throne of God with confidence? Isn't that amazing to think about that we can do that? Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20. By a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. The veil separating us from God was broken, was ripped from top to bottom at the cross, breaking down the barrier between us and God. We have a much more, quote, care of God. Romans 5:9-10. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This much more phrase is, there's a term that's used called a fortiori. And it means if God has done something for us, he can do much more than that. You know, he can do beyond anything we can even imagine. We are the objects of his love. Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Ephesians 5:2. But walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We're the objects of his grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 for salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Romans 5:2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. 1 Peter 1:5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. John 17:18, as you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Ephesians 1:19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. God gives us strength and grace and mercy. Philippians 2:13. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We're the objects of his faithfulness. Philippians 1:2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're also the objects of the peace, of his peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. We're the objects of his intercession. You know, we talked the other day about how the Holy Spirit speaks to God when we can't, with groanings too deep for words. You know, Romans 8:34, Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven himself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Christ is our intercessor. And we're the objects of that intercession. That's pretty amazing when you think about it, that when we pray and make requests to God, as we said a minute ago, you know, there are times when you just don't know how to pray, when you don't know what to pray. It was like that for us as we were losing Rebecca. We had prayed our hearts out. We couldn't pray anything else. But God the Holy Spirit interceded for us. And Christ intercedes for us. We are his inheritance, a possession. Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Can you imagine the inheritance we have waiting for us? I can't. I mean, we see a little bit of it in the end of Revelation, but I think we will be amazed. We are beneficiaries of an inheritance as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Ephesians 1:14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Colossians 3:24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Hebrews 9:15, for this reason he is a mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death was taken place from the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. 1 Peter 1:4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We also have a new position given to us at salvation. Ephesians 2:6. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're going to be seated with the Lord. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Colossians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that we are workers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. 2 Corinthians 6:1, working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. We are also ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are also living epistles. 2 Corinthians 3:3. Being manifest that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. We're the only scripture that some people see. You know? And, you know, therefore we need to live that way. We're ministers of God. 2 Corinthians 6:4 says, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, and in distress. We're about out of time, so I'm going to hit these next ones really quick. We're the recipients of eternal life. John 3:15, so that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. John 10:28, and I give eternal life to them, that they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. We're members of the family and household of God. Galatians 6:10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Ephesians 2:19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Ephesians 5:8 says that we are we are light in the world. For you were formerly in darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. We are in union with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in God. In other words, there is Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. John 14:20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Colossians 1:27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are part of the temple that God is building. Ephesians 2:21, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual household, as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. We're a sheep in his flock. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We're part of the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with his word, so that he might present to himself the church in all his glory, having no spot or wrinkle in any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. So, we will be glorified one day. Romans 8:30. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. We're complete in him, Colossians 2:10. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And we have as our possession every spiritual blessing provided for us in eternity past. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So we have just a tremendous amount of things that God has done for us. And I don't think we think about that enough. You know, we should walk in these ways that he has done for us. Someone want to close in prayer?
I will.
Okay.
Lord, we praise you for bringing us out today. Thank you for all the blessings that you can freely give to us, Lord. We thank you for, most of all, for the salvation that you provided for us through your Son. Ask that you would help us to love him more, to be in his word, your word, and Lord, to Lord, learn to share that with others, Lord, as much as we can. We thank you for your blessings, and we ask your protection on us as we go from here today, and that you would watch over us and bring us safely again to worship you next week. In Jesus' name. Amen.